Why do we repeat ourselves? No, really, why do we repeat ourselves? Is it just because we like to hear the exact same words come out of our own mouth? Do we repeat ourselves because we think that it's a great idea to just try and say the same thing over and over again? Do we just repeat ourselves because we're bored? I mean, there's a number of reasons. There's not one answer. Obviously, we repeat ourselves for a number of reasons, but consider for a moment why it is that we do this. Why do we keep saying these things over and over again? Of course, sometimes we say it for effect. Make a repetitive statement for the purposes of effect. Other times, repeat ourselves for the purposes of teaching. Say something once and may not always sink in completely. Say it again, and maybe a third or fourth time, and really begin to learn that thing. Repeat ourselves so we can lock something into our brain. I remember every time we moved, I repeated my home address over and over and over again to myself to make sure that I knew where I lived. And every once in a while, when I try and think of my address, I come up with one of the old ones. So, you know, go ahead, ask me where I live. I can come up with five or six addresses right off the top of my head. I'm not even a compulsive liar. I'm just confused. But we can repeat ourselves. We can say these things over and over again. The thing that I really want to think about and consider for a moment this morning is it's not merely the times we repeat ourselves because we want to go for effect. And obviously, sometimes we need to repeat ourselves because we want to remind someone or encourage someone something important. Surely you did not look at your spouse on the day of your wedding day, say, I love you, and think that was good enough for the rest of your life. That would be a little terrifying. Hopefully you repeat, I love you, a lot more than that. But really, the question I have is, why do we feel the need to be concerned about the repetition when we get tired of it? You know, those times that we hear that same sentence over and over again, we hear that same statement, we hear that same idea over and over again, and we get frustrated by it, or we get put off or put out by hearing it over and over again. I mean, it's that uncomfortable reminder of something we don't like, or that unpleasant statement of something that we're just tired of hearing over and over again. Why do those have to be repeated, and how do we respond to them? Consider for a moment Amos. I love Amos. He's one of my favorite prophets, not only because his book is short and fast and easy to get through, but because he speaks very plainly and very directly. Even when he's giving analogies, they're very colorful, they're very bright, they're really things I can grab onto. I really like them. But Amos doesn't come from a group of prophets. He's not a troop of prophets. He does not expect to be fed just because he gives prophecy. In fact, he's none of these things. But God spoke to him and said, go to the king in Bethel and give him my message. And you know, God, that same God, giving that same message over and over and over again, he almost sounded repetitive. Amos goes, and he prophesies, because he's told to. And he gives them the message that God gives. And it's that same constant message. Turn away from evil. Do the good. Live into the law. But they're tired of hearing it. They know they're doing it wrong, and so the reaction is not, gosh, you're right, we should stop doing that thing. No, instead it's, man, I'm really tired of you saying that. It says Amos, flee from this land. Don't prophesy here anymore. We're tired of you telling us this thing over and over and over again. We're really getting sick of always you giving us this doom and gloom idea that if we don't do the right thing, that somehow something bad's gonna happen. God bless Amos. Amos looks genuinely and says, I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm not doing this out of some salacious entertainment. I'm not trying to get a thrill off of doom and gloom. But God told me to say it. And it's the right thing to do because I was instructed. And I respond in this way. It fascinates me. We hear this repetition. Amos says the same thing the prophet said before him, and the prophets will say after him. It's how they responded that really becomes fascinating. Because we can get frustrated hearing that same thing over and over again. We can maybe get tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. I know it always kind of amused me, but I mean, all my other siblings kind of jumped on it right away. When we were really little, we'd always ask Dad to read us a story. And it didn't matter which book Dad grabbed off the shelf, it didn't matter which page he opened it to, it did not matter which fairy tale or which story he was going to read to us. They all began exactly the same way. At the far end of town where the brickle grass grows and the wind smells slow and sour when it blows, an old onceler lived there, and no birds sing there except old crows, lived the house of the lifted Lorax. My father could pull War and Peace off the shelf, but still began with The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. It was a fascinating phenomenon, and really, you know, it's this amazing ability, and really the story of the Lord. Actually, he knew it by heart, and he repeated it all the time. Honestly, I actually thought he used it as a litmus test to see if we were still awake. You know, he would wander into another story and see if we could pick up on it. And if we jumped on him right away, then he knew that we were still awake and he had to keep telling the story. Otherwise, he'd just close the book and go to bed. You know, I'd just call it a night. But there's something truly remarkable about it. Because we'd jump on it. We would immediately jump. No, that's not the story. That's not the story we're here for. We hear that message, and we hear that message over and over again. We get tired of hearing it. The question becomes, what kind of message is it that we're tired of hearing? What is it about it that we find so disengaging that we don't want to hear it anymore? And how do we respond to it? I mean, there's really a number of ways to respond. I think of my nephew sometimes, when he was just learning how to run. It's my firm opinion that babies don't learn how to walk. They learn how to crawl, and then learn how to run. And then somewhere when they enter school, they learn how to walk again. But, you know, at some point when my nephew was learning how to run, he came into the room. My brother-in-law and I were fixing a number of computers. And, of course, the computers were exposed because we were fixing them, and they were running because we were doing diagnostic tests. So there's a number of fans on, and some of the parts of the computer are very hot. And, you know, children being what they are, they want to touch everything that moves. And we didn't want them to get hurt. So over and over and over again, we told him the same thing. No, don't touch that. Pull his hand away. No, don't touch that. Pull his hand away. Over and over and over again. I walked away to go do something else. I was just on the other side of the room. I wasn't all that far away. And I turned and I saw my nephew, and he went over exactly back to the exact same spot where he knew he wasn't supposed to touch. And he extended his hand and he stopped for a minute. And he shook his head. No, he wasn't supposed to do that. And then he still stuck his finger, trying to stick it into the heatsink to try and burn his hand. And I ran over just as I saw him shaking his head. No, he knew he wasn't supposed to do that. And yet he still did it. It's that fascinating moment. I mean, for each of us, we can consider for a moment when we hear that message and we don't want to hear, when we hear that same repeated message over and over again, that same unpopular sentence, that same unpopular sentiment, how do we respond to it? Because let me tell you, there's a really easy temptation for us to be just like my nephew, to say, no, I'm not supposed to do that. And then somehow we still manage to go ahead and do that. And we get that same message. No, stop. You're not supposed to do that. Imagine how crazy it would be for, as a child, look over to our parents and say, you know, you keep telling me not to do this. You think, you know, you could just stop telling me? Because I'm really tired of you saying, don't hit my brother. I mean, sure, I hit him this morning, and I hit him yesterday, and you keep feeling the need to say it. But, you know, maybe you should just get to me. Aren't you tired of just saying, don't hit your brother? How do you suppose parents would respond to that? It's an incredible moment when we kind of turn this reminder to us of what we're supposed to be doing into a criticism of the fact that we're being reminded that we're supposed to do it. How crazy would that be? Consider for a moment God's position. We do the same thing over and over again, and we get tired of hearing the message that we're not supposed to do that thing. Is it really God's fault that we're hearing the same message? Or is it actually more fault to us in that great reminder that if we're tired of hearing that same thing that we're not supposed to do, how can we change our approach so that the message changes for us? Not that the message changes, but we don't have to be reminded of the things that we're not supposed to do. One of the beautiful things about the scriptures today is that whether we look at this gospel where Jesus sends out the 12 two by two to share that one message over and over again, or we look at Amos, who is reminding the priest who is just tired of being reminded that he's doing the wrong thing, is that each and every one of us has two challenges before us, the first and foremost of which is that if we know we're doing something wrong and we're tired of hearing someone say stop it, maybe we could try stopping it for a while and see if that makes the message go away. Of course, the second part is that if we're not hearing that message, we're pretty clear that we're actually on the right path, we're doing this right. Don't underestimate, we're still commissioned as prophets before God. At our baptism, we are anointed as priests, prophet, and king, but today we're especially talking about those prophets. And whether we're sent out one by one, two by two, or as many as we need, we are still sent to share that wonderful and beautiful and exciting message of the kingdom of God. That's exciting and truly remarkable gift that we've been given. Remember that Jesus sent out his 12 to share the good news of the kingdom. Not because Jesus couldn't. He's God and he has no limitations. But it's a powerful reminder that each and every one of us is to participate in this. and that He wants us to be His messengers of salvation. He wants us to be those good news reminders, to go out and share this beautiful message of salvation, this beautiful reminder of who it is that God has given to us. So there's two things before us. The first, if you hear a message, and it's that message of encouragement, and you want that repetition, be grateful for it. To be reminded of God's love is a great gift. We should never underestimate that. The second of which is if we're tired of hearing something, if we're hearing that particular message that's really kind of wearing on us, and you know, we're really getting sick of hearing about that part, the challenge falls to us. What are we going to do in order to change so that we don't have to hear it anymore? So that we can live into this grace with greater strength instead of just complaining that we keep hearing over and over again what we shouldn't be doing.